The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today.
Now I want to ask you, why should Christians even care about economics?
Join us as Jay Richards explores the solutions to the troubles we all face in today's economic climate.
You can see, well, it's the socialists that are talking about compassion and the poor. The capitalists are all talking about greed and getting rich, you know. And so if you're not thinking clearly about economics, people can fall for this.
Money, greed, and God. Next.
I want to welcome you to Life Today. This is really a very special program, and you're going to hear a number of programs that are really devoted to and dedicated directly to you at what may be a challenging time in your own life. And by the way, if you're finding that, you know what, things are going as well for me as they ever had and ever have, then you just know this. There's a reason that you're where you are. And you have a stability, and it's because of decisions you've made that were wise and meaningful. And this enables you, because of that solid footing, and it's often established out of a generous spirit and a generous heart, where you have released the rivers of God's resources to touch others. And we're going to show you how you can do that. But for many of you, and this is really what has led us to a series of programs and to an emphasis, many of you have communicated with us, and many have communicated with us concerning their family and people they're concerned about have challenges financially. And you're looking at the instability and therefore the lack of security that seems certain, it appears uncertain, and you're saying, God, give me some direction. Well, in answer to your heart cry and our prayers for people who say, pray for me, and our serious focus on that, we believe God has given us some direction. I want to offer you a series called More Than Enough, because God says, and He says this very specifically to the Corinthian Christians through Paul, if you learn how to live with the ministry of generosity, the ministry of giving, He says that specifically three different times, a ministry of, if you live releasing the river of God's life and love, God's going to meet your needs so that you have more than enough, not only to meet your needs, but to meet the needs of others. Now, when you face challenging times, we need to understand more than enough. What we found over the months of telecasts, we look back at all the gifted, anointed teachers who came in and gave us divine deposits concerning finances. You're going to be hearing from them. Jimmy Evans talking to couples about how to manage their finances when he had done it so totally wrong, and God showed he and his wife how to get things straight. And now he's teaching tens of thousands of people. Our pastor, Robert Morris, on The Blessed Life, has changed lives into being blessed beyond measure and transformed churches and communities all over America and around the world. Well, we want you to hear on CD those teachings, and you're going to be seeing these guests. Jay Richards, who's just completed a book with me that'll be out soon, and you don't want to miss it. But he also wrote about an understanding of the opportunities that we've been given that have now become an object of scorn, and therefore we're going to lose more opportunity. You need to hear what he has to say. And Carolyn Castleberry, who's a financial expert. Dr. Caroline Leaf talks about how the brain of men and women functions differently. Creflo Dollar, who has spoken to the inner city and the downtrodden to show them how they can come up out of the pit of despair and live with such an overflow of divine direction that they're able to touch other lives. You don't want to miss this. We are encouraging you to get the series More Than Enough, and you're going to be hearing from many of these who teach. Don't fail to get this series. And I want you to hear one of the teachers, someone that impacted me so profoundly that we've spent the last 14, 15 months writing a book that I believe can redirect our entire nation. I really do believe that. What Jay shares concerning money, greed, and God, I'm telling you, this is transforming. I want you to listen to Jay as Betty and I visited with him recently. You're going to be blessed. I want you to welcome our guest, Jay Richards, who wrote the book, Money, Greed, and God. Jay, I'm glad to see you.
Great to see you.
Now, I want to know, why should Christians even care about economics? And by the way, this is so much more than economics. It's everything that drives your life, and it's the misthinking and the really insidious worldview that is prevailing in Congress, in the nation, in entertainment, in education that is absolutely polluting the system. Why should Christians care about it?
Well, I'd say two basic answers. The first is that if you think about almost everything you do, you know, where you live, what you do for a living, where your children go to school, virtually probably 80% of the decisions we make in any given day have something to do with economics. So if the gospel has an implication for all of life, and it doesn't have implications for economics, that means it doesn't have an implication for most of what we do. I think Christians, at least Christians that are concerned with worldview thinking and applying the Christian worldview to issues, have been good. We've been great standing for life, standing for traditional marriage, but we forget that a lot of very important moral principles are involved in economics. And so, you know, as Christians, I think we've not done a really good job of helping and equipping Christians, especially young Christians, to apply the Christian worldview to economic issues. The second issue is the one, actually, James, that you just addressed. If we're concerned about the poor, as I believe God has commanded us to be, we'll spend a lot of time talking about poverty, but, you know, there's only one solution to economic poverty, and that's economic wealth. And so the question we ought to be asking is, you know, why is there so much poverty in the world? That's not really the question. Is where does wealth come from? How does wealth get created? And that's a question that a lot of Christians don't ask. We might talk about how to distribute wealth. We say, well, we got this certain amount, this, you know, pot of gold or this pie here. How are we going to slice it up so everybody gets their fair share? The real question you want to ask is, where did that pie come from in the first place? And how does it grow? And I think when we start asking those kinds of questions and answering them, we're going to be better and more effective in helping the needs of the poor.
You talk about it not being a zero sum. It's not like the pie is fixed and can't grow. The fact is that intelligent, devoted, dedicated, determined, entrepreneurial thinking and free market thinkers who really become what I call the effective farmers in the field of God, producing the crop and the potential and trusting God for the increase, but being wise enough to manage it, that pie can actually grow. And it's not a matter of taking some part of the pie and making sure you distribute it, but encouraging everybody to care about people and share and care. And you pointed out in your book that we take that second chapter of Acts where the people had so much love and so much joy and the power of God on their life, and they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and God's adding to the church daily those that should be saved, and the whole world stood in awe. I used to preach, now the whole world says of the church, awe, like that. But they stood in awe because they marveled. And the thing they did is they had things in common. Mm-hmm. They saw a need and they met it, and they met it gladly. Nobody took it and said, we're going to take it and give it. And that is precisely what I'm hearing, and you pointed out clearly, in the church, we're talking about take and distribute, the very song that the government and political leaders are singing, and we're diminishing the possibility. Even in the tax system, you point this out, the government is taking from the productive and even taking from the most productive, limiting their ability to hire, to create jobs, and to consumerism. Yeah. They can't produce that because they're waiting to see how much more the government's going to confiscate, and the government's promising to take care of everybody. Now, that, in my opinion, is basically what Karl Marx taught. Mm-hmm. It's collectivism, it's socialism. Right. And you, in your college studies, you say in your book that you were a nice little Presbyterian kid out in Amarillo and you saw what you call country club church people.
Sure.
And then you said you became a socialist liberal with what you learned in school, right?
That's right. I got off to college my freshman year. I was in a course where I had to read the Communist Manifesto, the Manifesto of Karl Marx, written in 1848, and misunderstood the professor. I thought he had told me that if I read the book five times, I could get an A in the class. And I thought, well, this is automatic, so I read the book five times. It turns out he had said, you're bound to get an A if you read the book five times. But either way, I read the book five times, and I realized, deeply confused 18-year-old mind, that Christians ought to be socialists. Now, when I look back on it, I think it's very strange. Remember, this is the 1980s. This is before the Soviet Union had collapsed. And socialists have always had the best branding. I mean, socialists knew to talk about human equality, talk about poverty, the alleviation of poverty, all these things that compassionate people are concerned about. And if you're sort of a vague-thinking Christian and you're compassionate, you can fall for this type of reasoning. You can assume, well, it's the socialists that are talking about compassion and the poor. The capitalists are all talking about greed and getting rich, you know. And so if you're not thinking clearly about economics, people can fall for this. And that's what I did my freshman year in college. It was only by the grace of God that I kept reading economics, so that by my senior year in college, I realized socialism just doesn't work. And then, of course, a year later, you know, 1990, 1991, after I graduated from college, the Soviet Union collapsed. And so I honestly thought at the time, I was in seminary, I thought, well, that debate has been settled. The 20th century was this great debate between free market capitalist economics on one side and command communist economics on the other. Capitalism won, communism lost. You know, let's talk about something else. In the meantime, though, here we are, you know, 20 years later, and there are kids in college that are voting that don't even remember the Cold War. And so all of those lessons that were hard fought and I thought won and settled have to be relearned. All the same college students that, you know, I encountered and thought of in the 80s are thinking the same bad economic ideas 20 years later. And so I realized these ideas, why it is that the free market works, what it is about free economies that allows wealth to be created, those have to be described anew in every generation. And that's why I decided to try to articulate those things in the book, which I frankly thought most of this stuff is common sense. I mean, you know, you really, we experience it every day. We know you have to have property laws. You got to have a right to private property. You got to have a way in which people can save and invest in their wealth and not just consume it. We take this stuff for granted, but all these things are the institutions of wealth creation, and there's a lot of other ways of ordering your economic life that just don't work, and I don't think we as Christians fully appreciate how profound it is, or thankful for the economic system we have.
I can understand us being disturbed by greed,
sure,
and about self-absorption and self-indulgence, where we don't even notice anybody else.
Yeah.
But see, to me, that's the problem, not the possibilities that opportunity produced, not the prosperity that this incredible free market system gave us the opportunity of becoming the most benevolent nation in history and do more to help people, even though now the government is a lot of times buying power and doling out to the very incorrect power brokers in other countries. We're not always doing it wisely, even in our benevolence.
Sure.
Again, why the church needs to be involved. We ought to be concerned about greed. You point out that greed is the problem, not the free market.
That's right.
And that the church should be addressing greed. That the fact we're prosperous isn't the problem, but the fact that we're selfish and self-absorbed is the problem, not the system that gave us an opportunity to succeed.
That's exactly right. I mean, when God created the universe, he made human beings free, right? He put Adam and Eve in the garden and actually gave them the choice even to choose against him. It wasn't God's choice to give them freedom that was bad. Adam and Eve's choice was bad. In the same way, it's an economic system where we have freedom that allows us to do a lot of things. We can do some good things. We can do some bad things. It's not necessarily going to prevent greed, but the freedom itself is not the problem. And if you think that capitalism and greed are sort of the same thing, just look at other economic systems. Was greed absent in the Soviet Union? Of course not. I mean, wherever two or three are gathered in a fallen race, there's going to be greed. And so, you know, that doesn't really explain anything. Sure, there's going to be greedy people on Wall Street. There are also going to be greedy grocers and lawyers and youth ministers. And, you know, I mean, that's the reality of sin. But what we want to do is we want to have an economic system that channels our greed where necessary into socially beneficial behavior, but also channels our hard work and our ingenuity. And that's what free market capitalism does.
So successfulness, everyone that's successful isn't greedy.
No, that's exactly right.
But aren't we kind of being told that they are now?
Yeah, I mean, this is, of course, with the financial crisis. It was blamed on unfettered capitalism and greedy people on Wall Street, for instance. Well, of course there are greedy people on Wall Street because there are greedy people everywhere. But it's not like people were suddenly greedier in 2007 or 2008 during the financial crisis, obviously. So something other than greed must have explained the problem. And this is where I think a lot of Christians actually get confused, because we look out in the world, and sure, you can always encounter a greed and money grubbing and consumerism and things like that. That's easy to notice. It's not easy to notice what you mentioned a minute ago, that the United States continues to be the most charitable and the most benevolent country in the history of the human race. And if you think about what charity is, I mean, charity is like the gleaning in the Old Testament, where the Hebrews were commanded, you know, when they went out and they reaped and they sowed and they harvested their wheat, to leave little bits around the edge for the sojourners that come in the land. Now, that's what charity is like. Notice that there wouldn't have been any gleaning if there hadn't been a prior abundance from the harvest. And so in order for us to be charitable, there has to be a way for us to create wealth. And so anything that basically destroys our capacity in this country to destroy wealth is going to limit our capacity to be charitable.
Jay, This is my firm conviction. If the Church of Jesus Christ does not stand up today and become the light that not only pierces the darkness but illuminates the way out of the despair and out of the, quote, recession, depression, right, whatever you want to call it, if we don't take the lead and put principal leaders in place who understand basic laws of poverty and wealth,
right,
who understand the damage that greed can impart to the whole community and all of society, but understand that government's not the solution. Hmm. Godliness is the solution. I don't think we're going to solve the economic crisis without having a kingdom mentality in the lives of Christians where God rules in our heart. You quote Kuyper, a Dutch theologian and philosopher who said there's not one square inch on planet Earth that Christ hadn't said mine over. Mm-hmm. That means we're the overseers of it, right? That means
Absolutely.
We're the stewards of what God entrusted to our watch care.
We are, and that's
By the way, I got this out of his book. I got it out of the Word of God and out of this book, which is brilliant, and I'm begging you to read it. Money, Greed, and God. Jay, I'm passionate about it. You say, why would a preacher be so concerned about this? You want to know why?
Why?
Because I care about the poor, because I care about the suffering. Mm-hmm. And I know that the problem is not the fertile field of opportunity that God gave us, but farmers that become corrupt and self-absorbed are people who are indifferent and who are sitting back waiting for Pharaoh to take care of them and make slaves out of all the other people. And this is preached. I mean, I don't know if in an academic does what I say make sense to an academic?
Absolutely it does. I mean, you've translated it perfectly. I mean, it's not the field that's the problem. The fact that you might have a greedy farmer or two, yeah, that's a problem. But it's not the fertile field, as you said, that's the problem. I mean, we only think about wealth this way. We don't think about, say, health. You don't say, well, you know, some people are healthy and some people are sick, so let's kind of spread the sickness around more evenly, right, and worry about the fact that they're healthy people. But we do this with wealth. It's like we fret over the fact that one person has more than another. The problem isn't that some people are wealthy. The problem is that some people are poor. In some places, wealth can't be created so those people can become prosperous. That's what we want to focus on. How do we cure poverty? What do we do? What needs to be set up so that people can create wealth on their own? We need to quit this sort of politics of envy where we compare the wealth in one place with the poverty of another, because the reason there's wealth in some places more often than not is because those places have the institutions and the laws and the traditions that allow wealth to be created.
Isn't that what our founders gave us, basically, that opportunity?
Absolutely. I mean, they understood the necessity of private property and the rule of law, which is absolutely foundational, but they also understood that human beings were sinful and fallen, and so they gave us a system in which the power of politicians themselves was divided. Because we hear a lot about greedy business people, but, you know, the reality, I hate to say it, but people in Congress can be greedy and self-interested as well, and the founders understood that very well, so they gave us a political system that both enforces the rule of law that you have to have for a free economy, but requires that the government itself is under the rule of law and not over it.
You know, I really do enjoy listening to the people that have blessed us when we talk and bless our viewers. And they have a track record everywhere they go of impacting lives in such a way that it many times totally transforms the people who listen or observe or become a part of what they're doing or what they're sharing, and they receive it. And we really feel like we've been called to not only be a blessing, but to share blessings and to share people who are blessed. And we do it for the purpose of blessing the viewer so that you, in turn, bless others. I mean, this is not inconsistent with the very creative purpose of God, who, when he created Adam and Eve, said, be fruitful and multiply. And that fruitfulness meant more than having children, because he said, you're going to oversee everything I've put under your watch care. You're going to be the stewards of everything I've entrusted to your oversight. And I'm going to give you divine direction. And I'm going to enable you not only to experience the blessings of my divine guidance, my wisdom, my counsel, don't set it aside, receive it. When you receive it and you're blessed, you're going to be a blessing to others. He said, I want you to be a nation of people so blessed, a family of people so blessed, that you bless the families and the nations of the world. And the nations whose God is the Lord, who bless the Lord and who are blessed by God, they bless others. Plain and simple. It's just the facts. So no matter how great the challenges, and I've referenced Psalm 112, you might just go there and read it, because God says he will bless the generous. Bless those that are compassionate. Well, as we listen to the prayer requests of people like you and other viewers, sometimes for family members or friends or neighbors, sometimes yourself. So we feel challenges right now. Well, we put together the series More Than Enough because God says, when you allow me to direct, I'm not only going to meet your need. Remember Paul said to the Philippians, my God, the God I know personally, will meet all of your needs, all of them, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He's going to take care of you. But Paul also said we're blessed to bless, to be generous. I want you to see the insights and direction that God has led us, literally, to share with you from some of our guests who talked about specific areas of concern. And we put all the teachings together in More Than Enough. All of the different teachers on the CDs, and in the CD package it comes is the book that I wrote some time ago, True Prosperity. Prosperity is oftentimes only defined as monetary, material wealth and gain. It's so much more than that. It doesn't limit that. As a matter of fact, it enhances that. But it's more than that. It's living with what money cannot buy or provide. And this will be sent to all of you who just simply say, James, we want to be blessed. We want God's direction. But at the same time, we understand being blessed as being a blessing. And here's what we're asking you to do right now. We're asking you to help provide. And the missionaries have brought this urgent request. And they feel the pressure of economic pressure from various countries. And they say, you know, we need some more help. And we do our best to provide that. But what's happening in areas where there's famine and hardship, the malnutrition is so great that you've got to establish clinics to provide emergency nutritional feeding. That's hands-on intravenous feeding, powdered milk, sugar and water, all that those children need, the majority of whom die before they ever reach the age of five. The missionaries have told us we need 400,000 of these feedings right now. Sometimes it only takes a matter of days to begin to turn it around, a matter of weeks to turn it around to where a child can then be strong enough to take stronger nutritional products like the porridge or the soup mixes. But we need that emergency feeding. And you know, when we close the year every year and we begin a new year, we trust God for a great outpouring of love and support to support the outreaches of life. Year-end gifts, New Year's gifts, we really need that help, but we need this emergency feeding too. You make a gift, we're going to send you the teaching series, the CDs. If you make a gift of over $100, which will provide 200 of those meals, you may be able to give 1,000 or more. You may be able to make a great gift. We want to send you several books like the one by Rabbi Lapping on the Old Testament teachings on prosperity and how God blesses his people, what the Jewish people learn, and it obviously works. The other books that we have that will be such a blessing to you. We want to bless you so you experience more than enough. We thank you for helping us save the lives of children in desperate need right now. Thank you for helping us share life. You're going to be blessed in your life. Make that call. Make the gift God puts on your heart, and we'll share the gift of life and love and give you the resources that are going to be an answer to your own prayer needs and somebody you know who may desperately need these resources as much as those children need the nutritional feeding.
In recent weeks, we've seen more and more young children under the age of five coming to our life centers, clinics, and feeding stations. Most are severely malnourished, requiring special care to properly feed them. Mortality rates are quickly on the rise, and it's a need that certainly cannot be ignored. With your help, we can provide an additional 400,000 emergency nutritional feedings that are specially formulated for children under five, including powdered milk and intravenous feedings. At a cost of 50 cents per meal, your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help provide 50, 100, or 200 emergency nutritional feedings. With your gift, we'll send you More Than Enough, a new dynamic 8-part audio teaching series that will show you God's plan for your financial peace and provision. Also included is James Robison's insightful book, True Prosperity. With your gift of $100 or more to help provide 200 emergency feedings, you may also request these dynamic books, Thou Shall Prosper by Rabbi Daniel Lappin, Money, Greed, and God by author Jay Richards, and Who Switched Off Your Brain by Dr. Caroline Leaf. Finally, as a special challenge, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide 2,000 emergency feedings, and you may also request the Back by Popular Demand as the Deer bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online today at lifetoday.org. These children are in a fight for their lives and desperately need the emergency nutritional formulas in order to survive.
But I need you to know this is where it is needed most desperately, is with these little children. A little child who literally is being rescued from death's door. A little child starving to death. Malnutrition stealing its life away. Just receiving some milk formula, just to keep the child alive, try and gain it back to strength. But what we need to do is we need to be able to save these children's lives.
We need your help so that we can reach our goal of providing 400,000 emergency nutritional feedings for clinics and life centers in various parts of the world.
Please help me today to give life, to restore the smiles on these children, and to bring back the life that is so missing from their little bodies.
Please go to your phone or go online and join us in this fight for their survival by giving the best gift you can. We can't win this battle without your support. So please respond now.
You know, I really do hope you'll let us send you the material and consider making a gift and request that beautiful bronze as the deer panteth. Many of our viewers said, could you bring that back? We didn't get it. We'd like to have it. We're asking you for a gift of $1,000 or more. Some of you do so much more than that as a year-end gift or begin the new year gift, and we really thank you for that. We are excited to send you more than enough, because I can promise you, God has more than enough for every one of us if we just let Him direct our steps. That's the reason we're providing the inspirational insights and instruction from the Word of God according to the will of God that'll bless you in your life. And we thank you for helping us literally save the lives of precious children.
Creflo Dollar, tomorrow.
Prosperity, they say money. Money by itself cannot define prosperity, and materials by itself can't define abundance.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.